Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 165. We're all looking forward to Josh naming this podcast. Last week was spectacular.
It happens organically.
I know it does. I know it does, but it's always you. I mean, from we were talking about it while you were getting food, was that you named the first one. Yeah. And that was I Know How to Work a Bowl, Sir, which is one of my favorite.
You're an asshole still.
The name of the podcast. So,
and last week's Fins with Benefits was a good one. So,
do you ever get comments on the podcast names?
No, I don't get comments on anything.
Nobody listens to
Well, except for you talk too much and Marvel. You stop bashing Marvel.
Well, no, that was one person. We've had it out.
It's so. More than one person.
You had it out.
Separate.
Yeah.
There you go. One special announcement is this Saturday, Sean Gabarin, the writer of Puppet Master No. 1, will be here. And as a special guest, Chad Ciccone, who's been a customer for years, who drew Fracture, will also be here because Sean Gabarin wrote Fracture. So they'll be here for both. But the main thing is Puppet Master to promote the Pittsburgh Comics special variant cover. So we'll come on down.
I got some extras in just for this event.
Just a few extras.
So there are a few here if you haven't got one
limited
yet.
Quantities.
Limited, yeah, so come early. No, he's going to be here from 2 to 5. I asked him if he could come a little later just because with the Steel City Con going on. Figure instead of trying to compete with that, maybe
I think
be
Chad's
here a little bit later.
On the podcast
before. Chad has been on the podcast. You are correct. With Joe, when Joe F was here,
that's right. They talked about first.
So you're gonna be selling these at the going eBay price, or are you gonna be nicely selling them at the?
I will
price?
Be selling them at the. Should get them on eBay just for the fact for fun.
The variant lovers, they just want his logo on.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that'll be going on Saturday. So please come on down. Even just come on down anyway, just even if you're not interested.
Just
I just
shop, whatever.
You don't need an invitation.
No, I had one signing, and it had to have been my slowest Saturday in history. It was very much a Spinal Tap moment. Like, it wasn't just nobody was coming for the signing. Nobody literally was coming into the store. It was a little embarrassing.
What was the signing?
Luckily, it was an artist, and he just kind of sat there and drew. So he had stuff to do. So,
was but it someone was, that was, like, more well-known?
No. No, but it was just. So please, at least just come down and sit around and talk.
What's the process of getting someone here, like for a sign? Do you ever try to like?
No, I've never. Everything has fallen in my lap.
Yeah.
So I've never gone
proactive at all about this.
No, because the problem is, if you go out and you want to have somebody in, you gotta generally have to fly them out. You gotta put them up in a hotel, and probably fly them back. And
figure out your own way.
You know, and then some, you know, incidentals, feed them and stuff. And it can be very expensive. I mean, like, even, like, when I had
Bucciolato.
Yeah, and Kyle Higgins here. I just paid part of their flight and one night in a hotel. And, you know, I lost a lot of money on that. Because, I mean, they're here, but it's not like, wow, they're here and I did $2,000 worth of sales because of just their stuff. It doesn't make that big a difference. I mean, it could if it was a big enough name and a big enough book and everything.
It gives you some...
but generally...
you know.
It's a...
Not, shows I don't, that you can do stuff.
Yeah,
like this,
and it's fun for you guys. You know, I'm happy to get them in for you guys. But, yeah, I don't go out looking for people to get in. Like, I know, like, Neil Adams is going around, but he tends to go around, like, if he's doing a convention, he'll hit the stores in that area.
Okay.
But from my understanding is it's very expensive.
We got Dave. What else do you guys want?
Actually,
you mean Diamond Dave?
Yeah, Diamond Dave. We gave
him my coat. Adam,
yeah. You cold?
No,
you
chilly? He's leaving.
My glasses are in the pocket.
Oh, okay. So no, I don't. Everything I've done has just fallen in my lap. So
weird.
Like even this one, you know, the actual
weird
guy set this up.
Fall in my lap.
Well. I haven't done anything to make it happen, really. I mean, a little bit.
He's just like, he's going to be like, next time I'm just recording this, I'm really.
Do you remember that one time I just sat at home and did this by myself?
Yeah. I do remember
he
that.
He did. That's how he started.
I do remember that. That's how this all began.
He sat there
yep.
read
she
us the previous guide.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, you had one like a year or so ago that you.
Yeah, it was he did a previews or something like
yeah.
that.
Maybe.
You, Maggie, and the Kraken.
Yep. Oh. Good times.
Weird podcast.
Good times. And then I always wanted to.
The dog talked about what the dog.
No,
about.
She just sat
there was
there
a Kraken there. I mean, it's a mythological creature.
This weekend, it's been Maggie the Kraken and streaming.
Oh,
Kraken and streaming.
Does that come out Friday?
Yeah.
Kraken and streaming?
Daredevil.
Oh, okay.
Daredevil, man.
I'm like, I don't know what you're
that
talking about.
That was a very good segue.
I didn't know what he was saying.
Usually you're better at that.
I wasn't trying.
It's my lap dog.
I've seen many.
There you go. But she was sitting literally on my lap.
Well,
while you were podcasting.
No, I was just watching TV.
Well, I can top that since this is Radio Gold.
Well, we
this
know.
Is Radio
I know
Gold.
Maggie,
yes,
too. And then...
Wait a second. My why do you have dog. Pictures of his dog on your phone?
Wait a minute.
The dog's my lap cat.
Over. Just comes
there
over.
There you go. But your lap cat doesn't weigh 75 pounds.
No.
Pat, was there any news?
Yeah,
there was a couple things. Deadpool is going to be R-rated.
He's dead.
No, we're not talking about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't
spoiler
see that as...
alert.
Like, that wasn't going to happen? Like, that's all
well,
I
mean, none of these have been R.
No.
So.
Well, Blade was.
Blade was. Okay. I expected this one to be.
But here's the thing. You know, I want it to be true to the comics, but the comics are rated teen. So you could get away... And you,
right.
You can get away with a PG-13 movie...
Can't you get away with a lot
the
more
problem
in a teen
is it,
rated
it's
per comic than you do in a PG-13
so
rated movie?
It's going to limit their audience. That's
are you
the
not
concern.
Happy with the R rating then?
Oh, no. I'm happy with it.
I mean,
anyway,
I don't think it's going to limit the audience. I mean, other R rated movies do fine.
Yeah.
And a bunch of kids are going to sneak into it. Anyway,
yeah,
so.
Well, yeah. But see, the problem with that is if you're sneaking into the movie and you're not paying for a ticket, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't
well,
help.
They paid for it. You're right.
Kids are going to sucker plenty of parents and they've taken.
Or
these
they
days,
bought a ticket to Cinderella and then went into.
Yeah, exactly.
The kids
never
these
did
days,
that.
No,
they
not
talk their parents
like
into going to see it.
I will say this: this movie will live or die more than other movies on the trailer. I think how the trailer is will really solidify how this movie's going to do.
Because he's definitely not a household name.
He's not.
No.
I'm getting tired of trailers. Like Avengers went on. We just mentioned trailers.
I understand, but I'm just saying that's
Adam
like.
I grew up in one.
I'm tired of milk.
Trailers. That's
you know,
what he's tired of.
It was a little bit better of a segue.
It wasn't really a segue, but I can get there. Let me get there. But
Pat's news, Adam's editorial.
The views expressed by Adam are not the views, necessarily
off
the
my
views
mind by Adam Russell.
You
know what really grinds my gears?
Are we ready?
This grinds his gears.
Yeah, I love that. The trailer thing, they get too like much into it. Like, there's too much that they show throughout trailers. And I don't know how well this one is going to, like, do, how much they're just going to throw into us. It's going to give away most of the movie.
Trailers, good or bad.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
Well, if it's a rated R movie, the trailer can't show all that much.
No. Well, that could do better for the movie.
Red Band.
I just... anymore, I think they just overdo it with their marketing of any of these movies. Like, they just throw out way too much for us to the point that we're just like, okay, we know it's coming out.
Yes and no. Like,
Star Wars
Avengers,
totally gave away the whole plot.
Oh, yeah.
Avengers has had a ridiculous number of trailers. But then look at Batman Superman. I can't believe we're still, like...
We're less than a year out.
Radio
we haven't
silence.
Seen, and although, the rumor is that's going to be attached to Mad Max.
When's that come out?
Soon.
May 15th.
Yeah.
But it's working, because that movie, I'm actually... I really want to see the trailer for, because I'm curious to see...
DC fanboy.
If it's garbage or not.
Well, he shops here, so he has to be a DC fanboy.
I tried to buy Marvel once. You stopped me.
Did not.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
I came
not.
In. I was a naive, starry-eyed whippersnapper, and I said, "Man, what about this Sixus event? I love the logo, sir. Do you have the back issues?
Oh, do star. I have them? Yeah.
And you made me read the Killing Joke instead.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry.
That's kind of like sexist.
It is sexist. You're right. Offensive.
Well, only if you're Batgirl. And segueing to Batgirl.
That's how you do a segue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but when they're so, like, obvious.
Not trailers. What's up with that?
He brought in the trailers.
He was being Seinfeld for a second.
It's about vegetables.
So what's the deal with trailers?
That's what it did.
They went all trailers. You know what I don't understand? Why are there 12 trailers for a movie? And another thing. But Batgirl, apparently they're revamping her again. And that the original plan was for the new look to only be for
I don't know if they
I don't
are.
Think
I think
revamping. I think just a few.
Well, she's losing changes. The look that they made such a big deal.
What I read was they're all losing it. She's just getting a couple little changes to it.
Yeah, but that's.
Well, a couple, like a pouch or something. It's not losing the whole look.
Well,
Rob Liefeld?
You know, that's why I said pouch, because you were talking about pouches and Rob Liefeld earlier.
Scratchy
today.
Face?
So when I needed a...
Speed lines on her face?
I needed a quippy comment, so I went with what you said earlier.
Okay, very nice quippy comment.
But...
My favorite hand signal of all time.
Yeah.
By
do the clicky? Okay,
sorry, do the clicky. Click the sign.
No, but it's... They made such a big deal about changing her costume for it to be one story arc.
I think the original plan was just one story arc if it flopped, but now, I mean, especially I think with Convergence, they have plenty of time to figure out what they're doing in June.
Like, I think...
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think we have to wait and see until we see some sort of, like, concept art or whatever, because I don't think they're making drastic changes, especially because hasn't this costume... I mean, despite how you feel about the content of the book, the costume's been fairly popular with people.
I
haven't
been
a freaking black
book.
And white statue.
Yeah.
In the summer for it.
Yeah, but statues sell.
I mean, she didn't get one for the previous costume.
Yeah,
not a black
did,
and white.
Not
a black,
not a black.
Not a black and white. But I was gonna say there's.
They're not limited.
Okay, so Josh likes the costume.
I don't dislike the costume. I'm just saying that
it's no Wonder Woman costume. But yeah, I see where you're going.
I'm just saying that we should have our pitchforks out and say. They're changing the whole thing.
If we don't have pitchforks out, we wouldn't be comic book people.
That's correct.
Any type of change is bad. Didn't you know that?
I cannot argue with what you're saying right now. So.
The
other thing you're saying, though, the six issues.
Yeah.
He was only playing for that. That was interesting to...
Yeah, because I thought it was, okay, we're changing the character, and this is how she's going to be for some amount of time. I figured longer than an arc.
Yeah.
Well, I think that might just been the original plan. If it didn't go over well, then they had
I mean,
a plan
it was
to
a very drastic
back.
Change
yeah.
for DC in general and for that book. So I can see them saying, "Well, I guess we'll take a risk and do an experiment before Convergence and see how it works out." But does it still sell well for you? Here?
It does okay. It's not going gangbusters like everybody is talking. That was one thing I noticed.
How did
like,
it do versus the previous?
It, I want to say it's down because I think a lot of people left with Gail Simone,
right.
And you also have there. I have had some customers that haven't liked the change, haven't liked the new costume, didn't like that they made her so much younger and everything.
It wasn't
so,
the costume so much; it was just the tone of the
well,
book.
The art,
like,
the
it's
art
not
style.
For me.
Yeah, the art is very different.
See, I didn't mind the art. It was the personality changes.
Yeah, well, I think it was just
the story.
Yeah. It is kind of funny just noticing, like, the Spider-Gwen sales have not gone well. I have one sold out quickly and was a huge success, but since then, not good at all.
Generally speaking, though, what are the demographics of the store? Because I know, like, when I'm in here, it tends to be people my age or older that I see. I mean, I'm sure there's younger people when I'm not here, but when I'm here, it tends to be... People my age are older.
It is. I mean, that's the majority
that's
of it. But
not
I mean,
really
right, right. And I mean, the idea is to get new, younger people in. And there are. I have a lot of new customers that are just getting that type of book.
Okay.
The Ms. Marvel, that things like that, which is great. But as far as the huge success, like I'm seeing, Thor is starting to drop, or not drop, but I'm having a lot left on the shelf. Spider-Gwen, like I said, it was really noticeable that I ordered number three the same as number one, and I sold less than half.
Okay.
So that's not good in the course of three issues to be have
dropped
half my
half.
Sales.
You normally order like the same as number one for those?
No, but number one sold out so quick, and we just got second prints in like this week, I think, or maybe last week. Mm-hmm. And number two did well, but the problem you also
it
have
double shipped,
is
didn't it?
Well, right. Number two shipped 2 weeks after number one, so you didn't really know that. That's the problem with Marvel shipping fast like that. Is I don't really have time, because I'm looking, because maybe by the time I had to put in my final numbers for three, I only had, you know, a couple days worth of two, but I'm still kind of basing it on number one. That's just and that, I think that's part of why they do that too, is that to get my numbers. So I don't have a lot of sales data to.
So really, they expect issue 4 and 5 to be where
probably
the
orders
drop. Yeah. I mean, for you, you're stuck with a bunch of 3s,
right?
But for them, they know
now,
4 or 5.
When I can adjust 4s, I'll be cutting it way down. Yeah, and then watch me sell out of 4s. You know, that's just kind of
the way
it
works.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
They'll just change your costume, and then people
yeah.
Will run
well, no, the costume—that's the main selling point on that one.
There's going to be a Green Lantern Star Trek crossover.
I saw that.
Yeah,
Francavilla or Villa did the cover.
Is that a normal cover, not a variant?
I don't. We don't know yet. No clue.
I thought that was kind of cool. The cover.
I'll buy it for that cover.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Yeah.
Else.
Yeah, because it had the Green Lantern logo, and then a negative space. It had the Star Wars logo, so that was really.
I didn't realize the IDW was. The IDW was under the same like umbrella as DC.
They're not.
In terms of ownership.
They're not. They're not.
I thought I read something where IDW is owned by the same...
No.
They're not?
Nope.
Who owns IDW?
IDW. Or something else. But
it's but not Time
it's
Warner.
Not, no, not Time Warner.
Okay, I read something that CBS had some sort of...
Not that I'm aware of.
They may have an interest in it, but they don't have...
Yeah, because they've done stuff before.
A controlling interest.
Because we had the, what was it, Legion Doctor Who crossover when IDW had the license.
I don't know, you look that up.
Keep going, Pat.
It's, yeah, yeah. Can't all just be Planet of the Apes and Star Trek.
Okay. Yeah, there was Star Trek Doctor Who and Star Trek Legion.
Okay.
A couple years ago. And they're teaming Star Trek up with everybody now.
Well, yeah, Star Trek.
It's good.
The next thing was they were talking about the X-Books and how the X-Books will not be segregated from the rest of the Marvel Universe.
How can I help you?
We just got all kinds of things going on.
Did someone break in while we were in here?
Which I found to be a strange statement because I really think the X-Books are kind of segregated from the rest of the Marvel Universe now. So forget about after Secret Wars.
Yeah, that interview with Axel Alonso, he caused a little kerfuffle by saying they're going to be in their own world or something.
Well, but then he clarified it and said that they're not, but it's like if you read the X-Books, what goes on the X-Books has nothing to do with the rest.
Okay.
They're not owned by...
No, I read some other article that it said that they were under the same, like... umbrella somehow is DC, but no.
Well, I think they're just working together on it, but
no,
I think it's one of those things. So they've worked together in the past, so it was successful.
No, I get that. Just like the article I read was saying that they were under the same umbrella.
Nope, different umbrella.
I am wrong in the article, which I can't remember right now, is wrong.
Wrong. And Josh, I got this one just for you because it's a Valiant thing.
What?
That apparently Exo Man of War is going to marry.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the one Valiant book that I'm not reading regularly just because it was the first one. So by the time I started reading Valiant, there were already several there. And I've got some sale from a different...
You cheated?
...method that isn't Colin for Exo Man of War. I cheated on you.
Was it covered in hamburger juice?
No, it was digital.
Oh, that's
okay. Oh, okay. Well, then that's okay.
So I read a bunch of them, but I haven't started buying them just because I'm so far behind still.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I saw he's getting married, and it looks like it could be a tragic union somehow, leading to their next event,
The
Book of Death.
Now, here's where I find that funny. So in Marvel... characters can marry. Now in Valiant, characters can marry. Why in DC can characters not marry?
Well, we don't poo-poo on DC here.
No. I think it's a valid question.
No, what I think happened, as far as the New 52, they didn't want to have all these pre-established relationships. What they wanted was to try to make it so that it was new reader friendly. That's why, especially in the first arcs, it was all new villains.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got people in, so they didn't necessarily want to have relationships...
Well, as far as I know. Batwoman, which...
Yeah, right. No, that was the whole...
They totally...
Right, and I think what part of that was, I think part of that was an editor with an ego.
They stuck by policy to the point of ridiculousness.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I think that was originally the reason they did it.
I think the only, star of a book that was married was Animal Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's it. And they had them get separated throughout the course of the run.
Just can't have a stable relationship with a superhero.
You can't.
That's how it works.
That's what Sandy's finding out right now.
Mm-hmm. The original Animal Man.
Next.
Pat won the podcast just now, in case you weren't keeping score.
And this one, at this point, is just a rumor, but I saw it today, so I thought I'd bring it up, was that Marvel is looking at Ernie Hudson to play T'Chaka in the Black Panther movie.
Shut up.
Okay. So, here's... I kind of... He's not who I see at all. Not that he's a bad actor or anything. Like, that's not who I see as that character. I'm thinking Lenny James from... Morgan from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Someone like that. More regal, more British, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. They're African. Even if they're speaking English, they're going to be accented. It's not going to be some guy talking from the U.S.
Well, you don't know if he can do an accent or not. I mean...
Okay, the highlight of his career was Ghostbusters and I think The Substitute. And then direct to a
No, he's video done. Stuff. He's done like a ton of TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's actually up
to the comic book man.
that's the pinnacle of anybody's career.
I think like of the Ghostbusters crew, he is the one that has like Bill Murray's the most popular, but I think he's the one that has stayed the most active since Ghostbusters.
That's because I think the rest of them had enough money; they chose their projects a bit different. Yeah.
How much money can Ackroyd possibly have at this point? I don't know.
Because remember, he owned House of Blues. So he had money coming in from other places.
I feel like Ackroyd made a lot of bad decisions with his career.
Oh, he did a lot of dumb movies. Oh. And then Harold Ramis did all his stuff behind the camera.
Yeah.
So that's why you didn't see him. But
yeah.
Like I said, I saw that and...
Rick Moranis retired from acting?
Did he retire?
Yeah, he did. Oh, wow. His wife died, and he wanted to raise his kids, so he retired.
Wow. Okay, I didn't realize that. Cool.
I still think the pinnacle of his career, though, is Dark Helmet. I love Spaceballs so much.
Yeah, that's...
Strange Brew, I'll put in mind.
That's pretty, yeah.
2 cents for Strange Brew, and Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, that was good, too.
I haven't seen that in a while.
So that's all I got for Pat's News.
That's it.
That's more you brought. That's
not my job. My job. This is my job right here. This one.
I just highlight a piece of paper.
Exactly. I do.
That someone else prepares for me.
I read off 8 titles at the end of the podcast and say, Adam,
that's podcast.
You're just being mean tonight. What'd you read, Josh?
Oh man, I have my list ready. Jeez.
Oh, and that's my fault.
Well, that was very vindictive of you.
Yes, it was.
Someone else has to go. It's going to take me a second here.
Dave?
Well, I would let Josh go because he really wants to talk about his favorite book of the week, Future's End.
What do you got? Yeah, let's have you start since Josh is unprepared.
I'll start with my pick of the week was Southern Bastards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number
7 or 8?
8, I want to say.
8.
I wrote it down there. Number 7. Maybe that's wrong, but man, what a book. This is the continuing origin of Ulyss Boss and how this really goes into how he came into power.
Yeah.
Were there more chickens involved?
No.
Okay. No chickens, but he's
checking. I'm a little behind, so.
But he, at the beginning, he goes out in search of his dad, who's out in the woods. I don't think there's any chickens out there.
Just chickens. It was a very memorable scene.
And that seems like his dad had been out in the woods since, he got thrown out of the house, which was at least, a year or two before.
So Ulyss is out there saying he wants to make amends with his dad, and it ends up shooting him in the back. and taking them back into town in his trunk of his car, and handing them over to the sheriff, I guess. And through this, he becomes
the head coach
of the Running Rebs.
That was really weird. The way that happened, that was kind of, you know, the principal, you know, they're in the middle of practice. Coach, you're fired. Boss is coach now.
Yeah.
Like, man, that's kind of messed up.
All because he killed his papa.
No, he did what it takes to win.
So his buddy Big, he figures out what's going on, and there's going to be more blood in the future, and he can't live with himself. So Ulysses is going out around the office trying to find him, and finds Big with a bullet in his head.
Ooh,
yeah. Well, and, but that was years later. It seemed like. I don't think that was.
Oh, I thought it was
in the past. I thought that was in the present was when he did it. I could be wrong, but it seemed like, because he didn't seem young when he went to go talk to Boss, or when he found Boss. It seemed like he was, you know, in his 40s or 50s.
Okay, I misread that then. Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's just how I saw it.
Yeah, that makes sense, though, what you're saying.
And then at the end there with Tubbs' daughters on
the
way.
So, yeah, we get to the end, and this is what I've been waiting to see is Earl's, Tubbs' daughter is going back to Craw County to find her daddy. And she says, I'm not going to someplace worse than Afghaniland. I'm going to Craw County.
Yeah, not Afghaniland.
So I can't wait to see. Can't wait to see what happens next issue. If it just keeps in the, I guess, the present time, to see what becomes of Roberta.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the second trade for that.
So just an excellent book too. Just
what?
No, it's funny.
I'm just sucked into that book and with those characters and everything.
Yeah, that's been a really good book.
Second one, another Image book, Dying in the Dead, number 2.
That was good.
This was basically getting the gang, getting the band back together issue, as the Colonel goes around to get his buddies.
I think it's top Adam. Right.
Goes around to get his buddies back to go in this quest. For I'm not going to pretend to understand what the quest is about, because I don't know if it's a MacGuffin, and it's Hickman, and it's kind of convoluted. But it was fine. He's getting the guys back together. One of them is at a retirement home and kind of running a drug ring inside the home, and the guy was not much of a drug ring.
Who needs nitro pills?
Yeah.
Just ecstasy. Some light cocaine.
No.
Light cocaine?
Coke Light, yeah.
Coke Light. Diet Coke.
So you have the sadistic people inside the retirement home, and I think his name's Doyle. He gets the last laugh and beats them up as they're on the way out, and there's a lot of other guys with different backstories. So it was actually a fun book. Fun issue to read. Next one was Uncanny Season 2. This is a book from Dynamite. This is about a guy. His name's Weaver, and he has the uncanny ability. When he touches somebody, he gains their knowledge and their skill set, and can do anything they can do. And the season one told a story in the present time. This is kind of a backstory to this kid, and his real name is Bobby Lowe, and you first see him in the back of it back when he's a little kid in the back of his car with his dad, who's been shot, and he has to pull a bullet out of his dad's back. And the dad disappears, and the kid goes into protective child services custody, and
it goes to CPS or goes to protective custody. Those are two different things. He gets taken from the family, child, or he gets
child,
like
yeah, child okay. protective
it's
services.
It's not like witness protection.
No, no, okay. child protective services.
Okay,
they're called. And so you follow him throughout. He's moved from place to place, and he gains these abilities. He helps one of the nurses passes out, and he gains medical knowledge from touching her, so he can help her. But they think he's not helping her, and then he escapes at the end by gaining these boxing skills, and from this boxer who's at the hospital. I don't know what word I'm trying to think of. Sorry. And he takes the guy's name is Weaver, and he escapes.
First thought was ice cream.
Sorry. Can I tell you, I kind of thought we were getting some because she sent me a message that said, "Are you at Collins?" So why would she ask if she was going to bring something right. for us? But it's 8:23.
Okay, it was just funny. Hasn't. It was just funny. So just my first thought.
Now I'm going to get a divorce because there's no ice cream.
No, I'm sorry, man. That was short lived.
Well, maybe that's why she wants to know if you're at Collins. She's getting the boyfriend over.
Oh, nice. Now he's going to be thinking about that. Great. Adele will give her up. She'll tell her.
That's the nice thing about having young kids. You can bribe them easy. They're the best stool pigeons there are.
Oh, yeah. Very, like, one day, and this is completely not what you want to hear in the podcast, but we picked her from school, and I guess there was some incident where some kid, like, hit some of their kids or something. And they told us about it because she, you know, got hit and got a scratch. But their policy, like, they wouldn't tell us, like, who it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, we can't say who. So we just turn like, Adele, who scratched you? Oh, it was like, all right, thanks.
It's our policy not to tell you. Okay, well, then I'll press charges against you for failing to protect my daughter.
Sorry, Dave.
Is that how they do it in Philly?
That's okay.
No, actually.
Defend yourself, stupid.
Actually, I got a third degree burn in school, and they didn't. They took the kid and that, you know, took him. His dad was a cop. So, I think he got, like, a two-day suspension.
They could beating at home.
I doubt that.
Okay.
I chased after him with a sledgehammer, though.
Sweet. So, that's how you do it.
That was,
Philly
like...
Philly style.
Philly rules.
No, I was, like, 4'7" when I went into high school. So, I weighed, like, 75 pounds. I wasn't fighting anybody fairly. If there was a weapon, I'd use it. Too small.
Last one I wanted to mention was the new Star Wars book from Marvel, Kanan, The
okay.
Last Padawan.
Okay.
Anybody else read that one?
I did not.
Adam?
Yep.
It was good. I liked it. This is the character from the Rebels cartoon. I've only seen a few episodes of that. But he's a smuggler. This takes place...
He was a Padawan.
Yeah,
how could he be a smuggler?
Well, in the cartoon, he's hiding the fact that he was once a Jedi. That he was once a Padawan.
So he's gotcha. Like Luke Skywalker and Han Solo mixed together.
He is, with the voice of Freddie Prinze Jr.
I don't know how that adds to it, but okay.
Where did that come from?
I don't know.
Freddie Prinze Sr. and his mom. That's where it came from.
Oh.
Pat no longer wins the podcast.
No, Pat just lost his title.
But the comic takes place right at the beginning of the Clone Wars, and it shows him as a very young Padawan with his Jedi Master, and you get a little bit of his backstory and his Master, who's a woman, backstory.
Who was his Jedi Master?
Her name is... I don't know what kind of alien she
was
is.
Was it the blue girl that got killed by all the... by all the clone troopers?
I don't think so. Her name's Depa Bilaba.
Okay.
I'd have to get the... And, you know, he's headstrong. He's always questioning. That's his character trait. And, of course, the last words on the last page are execute order 66.
Okay.
As they're on a planet with the clone troopers, you know, trying to save it from the separatists, right? As you know, the Emperor gives his
So this wasn't order. The blue chick then with the they're not tails, but
yeah, I know who you're saying.
Yeah, because
I don't think that
like what happened to her.
I'll have to grab the book when someone else is talking and I can look.
Is that race called Twi'lex?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Way to go, Josh.
Yeah.
Way to go, Tweedledum. I mean, Twi'lex. Sorry.
No one would miss you if you disappeared.
I know.
Josh can make that
Maggie
happen.
Maggie would.
I can't, but I think Pat knows people who can make that happen, so.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, Meg.
With the sledgehammer.
No, with the candlestick in the comic book store.
In the back room.
So find my body in the storage closet.
Oh, they won't find the body.
Under Ron's stuff, yeah.
Well, you know what, though? That's a safe place because it'll never be picked up.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for reminding me that today.
I will hand it over to Josh or Pat, whoever wants to go.
I'll go since Colin.
$15? Are you kidding me? Sorry.
What?
Somebody offered me $15. I have some Deadpool books up with a buy it now of $39.99, and the offers have been quite ridiculous. So
I love the make an offer feature on eBay.
Yeah, I like ignoring them. Standpoint. Okay,
I'm gonna find this and make an offer. What is your eBay name?
Yeah.
You don't want to say it?
No, the store is under PGH Comics. But mine is Comic Man, C-O-M-C-M-A-N.
Which one you sell from the store?
The store name is PGH Comics.
And you have like an eBay store up there?
Yeah.
All right, so my list. And I think most of my list everyone read too, so I'm not going to go through all of them. But one I don't think anyone else is reading, Black Science. You dropped off of that, right?
Yeah, I dropped off that. Yeah.
So the past few issues have been a little bit slow. The last issue saw them... end up on this one planet. You don't know a whole lot about it. You see, like, these almost, you know, futuristic, like, gladiatorial-like figure. Like, he's wearing, you know, sci-fi armor or suit, but there's, you know...
Like the Suiciders, almost?
Kinda. Like, it just has, like, hints of, like, you know, Roman centurion vibe, along with being very sci-fi. And you have Grant's daughter... who she's chasing after her mom, and it's not really her mom because it's, you know, her mom from a different dimension that tried to, you know, take her and her brother because they said that, you know, Grant always gets them killed somehow. But then her husband from that dimension got killed and she, you know, ran off and ends up in this planet and the daughter goes to chase after. So this issue picks up where they're on this, I keep saying planet, but it's really dimensions. They're in this dimension and you find out that the team there that, you know, created the pillar and were, you know, jumping between dimensions somehow may have been responsible for a virus outbreak.
Okay.
And almost everyone's infected. So it looks like, you know, this desolate wasteland, they're burning bodies. The centurion-looking guy is after anyone that has, like, the symbol of, you know, the onion because... they're responsible for this outbreak, and they, you know,
want to
kill all of them. So you have a few different things going. You have, you know, Grant and I forget the other guy's name, but someone from the team,
Clark,
that are the bald guy, who are watching some vids of what happened previously and trying to get an idea of where they're at, what's going on. And then you have his daughter and her mom from different dimension trying to outrun the centurion. And there are some, you know, brutal scenes in this this book. And the back of the book, in the letter section, the part that Remender wrote saying that the book's now entering in, like, the dark period where a lot of, you know, bad shit's going to be happening to the main cast of characters. But it really, like, it ramped up the intensity of the book. It went from being a slur for a few issues to really, you know, kicking up the action. So it was great. I really, you know, really like a lot. This book's been, you know, fairly solid with story, aside from a few slow points, and art's been phenomenal.
Any more frog strippers?
No more frog strippers yet.
That's what hooked me on the first issue. I'm like, frog strippers? How can I not love this book?
And Matteo Scalera does draw a pretty wicked frog stripper. Yeah. But no, it's good. I would recommend, you know, picking up the trades, checking out. So on to everything else that I think everyone here is reading for the most part. Had a few weekly books that wrapped up last week. One was really good. One can go F itself, and the other one I wasn't reading, so...
Wow. I just... One anti-Marvel comment on that. I just found it funny that DC hit these three weekly books for a year, almost a year on Future's End and half a year on Earth 2, and didn't miss a single week with an issue. And this would have been... Wolverine's 14 should have come out this week, but it didn't. That is kind of funny. DC kept the clocks, you know, the trains running on time. And
hats off to DC for getting that, you know, having that work well.
You just didn't like Future's End?
How did you know which one I said? You know,
well, I believe I heard you make a comment about that earlier that I don't really think...
No one says Batman Eternal can go F itself.
No.
I mean, they could, but they wouldn't be around to hear the podcast published. Yeah. So, okay, the good one first. Batman Eternal 52 came out last week, and I think that was the perfect way they could have ended that series. So you found out that, yes, Cluemaster was really the mastermind of the plan that happened, but he was, you know, bankrolled by Lincoln March.
Yep.
Essentially. And you really get to see, like, the entire Bat family, you know, shine in their different, in their respective areas. In this threat against Gotham, you got to see Commissioner Gordon, you know, rise back up to, you know, this prominent figure again, and take charge during the crisis. It was just, I think it hit all of the right notes for this final issue. It wrapped everything perfectly.
Well, I think the fact that, you know, they got the city to save itself.
Yeah, like everyone rallied together.
Yeah, that, I really like that.
But still using Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I loved whenever he's in that, you know,
the idea
knockout brawl with Lincoln March, and he, you know, makes his makeshift costume.
Yeah, and I was saying, I think I was sitting here last week reading it with Adam, not to Adam, even though that's usually what you have to do, but it looked a lot like the Parisian Batman from Batman Inc., and the Night Runner, I think his name is.
Yeah.
He looked a lot like that. And then, you know, the fate of Lincoln March, I thought was perfect.
Yeah, yeah, to have him... have the owls put him back into, you know, suspending animation, saying that maybe they'll wake him up and use him again in a decade or so.
But the one really weird thing, in two panels, Talon shows up.
Yeah.
Casey, the one that had his own series. And it's like, he hasn't been around. Like, at the end of his series, he joins Batman Inc. But as far as I know, I haven't seen him in any books.
No, I don't think so either.
Since that happened.
But I think Tinian wrote that, so maybe that was just a way of him just...
Yeah.
I want to include my guy.
But Tinian wrote other parts.
But I'm saying he wrote the Talon book.
Here's the thing.
He wrote other parts of Batman Eternal and never included him.
No,
so it was just
right.
Like he showed up out of nowhere. Like, oh, okay.
Well, maybe just where it was a case... Been? Well, maybe it was a case of Gotham needed all the help it could get.
We haven't really seen many other people from Batman Inc. either in this. Like, we saw a little bit whenever he went to Asia, but not...
Where's Man of Bats? That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. But no, it was good, and I liked the little, you know, wrap up at the end where you got to see a couple pages of each person to tie things up. But no, it was.
What was up with Batgirl and Red Hood?
Well, Red Hood's like always had a thing for at least in the recent years. So I think they've always been playing up like this tension between them, where there's a thing there, but he doesn't actually pursue it.
Yeah, but I always thought that was more of a Dick Grayson.
I think, which is why I think he doesn't pursue it.
Yeah, and then,
I think they had some sort of fight at one point, like him and Grayson, because of comments Red Hood made about it. Yeah.
And then the introduction of Tim Drake to Stephanie Brown. That was like typical teenager, very awkward.
Which works for those characters.
It does. And it was like, okay, that's, you know.
Yeah. No, it was great. Like, I'm very impressed that for 52 issues, they kept this on track schedule-wise, and they managed to tell a complete story that didn't, you know, fall apart at the seams at the very end.
Unlike.
Great transition.
I don't feel that Future's End fell apart at the seams, Dan. I feel like Future's End was kind of a big slap in the face at the end. Because for 48 issues, you had us buy 48 issues, a lot of ups and downs. I mean, the consistency was not there with Future's End like it was with Batman Eternal.
Yeah.
And we defended Future's End quite a bit on this podcast. And to give us issue 48, where essentially nothing whatsoever is resolved.
No.
Nothing. Like, the situation is... nothing's resolved. Nothing has changed at all.
Well, and that was the confusing thing. So, Brother Eye self-destructs and sends him back to his own time. Now, I'm wondering when it sent him back to his own time.
But it wasn't even his own time?
Yeah, it was Harry McGinnis' time. Right, so, right. It was like he took the technology from the suit and said, okay, I know what time period this is, and sent him there. But it seemed like either A, he didn't self-destruct, mm-hmm. or B, he was recreated by Mr. Terrific again after the
fact. And Batman.
Yeah, and Batman. But you don't see Batman at the end of Future's End.
No, not only did it not wrap things up at all, but also was very, like, confusing as to what was actually happening. Mm-hmm. It raised more questions. So it not only did not answer them, but it actually raised more questions.
Well, I think that's why it's leading into the Batman Beyond book that's going to happen after.
I guess, but give me a freaking break.
You don't need a 48 issue preview. Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's kind of a D move to do that and have it just lead into another book. So I hope that's not the case. I hope this was, you know, a complete oversight or blunder on their part, not a strategically planned segue into this other book.
Yeah, I kind of,
because then I really stand by F that book.
Yeah,
at that point. What?
No, it's just
you did. What's
no,
your
no. I got to the end of that. And I'm like, really?
And I think you said it. It just wasn't as satisfying mm-mm. as Batman Eternal.
No.
And then when I read Batman Eternal, though, I'm like, well, this was a really satisfying ending. So. Okay,
you're thinking like maybe that Future's End is just it's good, but not like
not
that
the
same...
last panel. To well, be sadly, eye on the moon.
I read Batman Eternal first, and then Future's End. And I was like, "What?" And then I read Earth 2, World's End, and I was like, "What?" Which made a little bit more sense this week. So,
and the part that really like chaps my ass about it is there's a lot of like, huh? What?
Sorry, your ass is chaps.
We are flirting with that E.
I said F. I didn't, like, say the word.
You did drop the S-bomb, though.
Well, yeah, you're
right. Way to go. Apple's going to ban us.
Sorry.
But there's, like, there's the only some, one there, with an R.
There's great creators on this book. Like, there's no reason for this book to not be a solid...
Yeah. Where did the ball get dropped?
I feel like the names on this book were bigger than the names
on
Eternal.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe that was the problem in and of itself, though, is you got... names in the room, and I don't know these guys, so I don't, you know, I can't say this
well,
for sure.
I mean,
are there egos in the room, and no one wants to bend? No, this is the ending I want.
To me,
this is...
here's the main thing that differed between Eternal and Future's End. Eternal had one person who was kind of like
steering
the book, captainship. Whereas Future's End, everyone had their own little sandbox they played in, mm-hmm. and each, like, every time the story jumped to someone else. Or different,
but,
you know, focus.
But what was the resolution of 50 Sue and Grifter and all that, that whole part?
You mean sitting in a diner and being satisfied finding out that her mom had powers and her mom...
Best mom
quote,
ever.
Unquote, yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't the resolution for you?
No.
There was a lack of resolution.
Nothing was, but I was just saying, like, that whole thing just seemed totally just dropped.
There's nothing resolved. Yeah.
That's what I was wondering about, because with... The 52, the first weekly series they did, 52, mm-hmm. I remember that each of the creators had their own characters.
Right.
To write as the series progressed. I don't know if it was the same way. Was it the same way with this Future's End?
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that whole thing was plotted out.
Yeah, because, I don't know, that seems like a bad move if you have... different guys, you know.
It just
different characters all the time, and not.
It was just unsatisfying at the end.
I said, someone just needs to be in charge and steer it. This is
they came out and said that like each one was responsible for different you know, groups of characters. So, like, okay. I believe it was Jeff Lemire was doing the, like, Frankenstein and the Dark and, characters. Yeah. And I think Azzarello was doing, like, the Grifter and 50 Sue and those, that okay. group.
The
I mean,
I could
be mistaken, but I think that's how it played out. I'm not sure who, like, Giffen and Juergens were.
But there was no real definitive guy saying, okay, no, your job as a writer, you got to get to this point at this issue.
Like, Scott Snyder did not script a single, as far as I know, did not script a single issue of Batman Eternal. He just, like, guided
the
story.
He did the overall plot, yeah. Well, and that's really all you need. Okay, you're doing the Grifter. At this point in the story, you know, in issue 38, the Grifter has to be here. I don't care how you get him to this point, but that's where he has to be. Yeah. Tell your story. And then, you know, by the time you got to issue 48, it's like, and I don't know if maybe if they had three or four more issues, they could have, and that's,
they had 48, man.
Well, I know, but I don't know if they would have went, maybe that's the problem though, is they got closer
to it. It's like twice as many as any Marvel book gets.
Well, no, Marvel just resets it. That's, you know, they may have gotten closer to the end and been like, ooh. Yeah, we forgot to wrap up the ending.
What did we do?
You know,
we have four more issues, right? What?
Well, yeah, no, and that's it. You know, well, Batman Eternal got 52 issues. Maybe that's what they were thinking and then realized, oh, no, we're getting 48.
I can't imagine if you have, like, was it four writers on this?
Yeah.
That all of them would have been under the impression, like, oh, we're fine, we're fine. Like, at some point, someone had to think, no, we're not fine. We got to wrap this up.
Maybe not.
Maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but, like, these are
well, even
writers that have put out stuff that has been phenomenal.
In 52, they came out with those four World War III issues because they realized they weren't going to be able to wrap it all up.
Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be a continuance of Future's End. Well, like there is the Batman Beyond book, which, like I said, that's a giant DB move.
You kind of had me on board to checking that book out until this final issue. Now I just don't think I care, and it makes me mad because I defended this book constantly.
It was an up and down book. I think the first 18 issues, and that's a shame. We say first 18 issues, this book sucks.
Once you get past 18, it's good.
But with a weekly book, I mean, that's, you know,
it's still 3 months.
May not have been quite that, but I know, like, the last couple issues...
I think it was, like, the first 10 issues were kind of, like, shaky after that. It was...
But remember, the first issue, well, technically the zero issue, was a free comic book issue. And that was a good hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was... and kind of went up and down. And then right before the trade came out, those last two or three issues, it got really good.
It did. It started to get, like, a consistent, you know, voice.
It found its
to
legs,
it.
And it was like, okay, well, that's great. And it almost seemed like, okay, someone's now in charge, and it's piloting this thing along.
But then it went back.
And then
it
was like, I don't know.
Peck, so, can I have a Powerade? I'm all fired up now. I need a Powerade.
He's so fired up, he has to rehydrate.
He has to cool off.
Don't leave the door open. It's unplugged.
Why did he leave the door open? It was plugged in.
He must have to yell at that, like, his son all the time.
He thinks because he's on the phone that you're him, though.
Yeah, I know. Apparently, I'm the new Adam.
We're very mean. We're a mean group.
We're a mean group tonight. Well, yes.
We are.
The third weekly book I wasn't reading, so I'm going to defer to Pat for that one.
Okay.
I mean, I'll go back to my other books afterwards.
Oh, okay.
Just to figure out, we're talking about all the weekly books.
Yeah.
Unless you want to wait for Adam to come back.
No, that's okay. World's End, number 26. It was the final one. Again, it didn't exactly resolve. You know, it's to be continued in Convergence number 1, which came out today, which is kind of a cop-out, but at the same time, based on what you see happening in Future's End, it isn't.
So, yeah, does this one end where you see them not coming to?
Mm-mm. No. So they have the final battle with Apocalypse. And Green Lantern, Alan Scott, he's basically visited by the spirit of, and I forget the White Lantern's name, but it's not the White Lantern, but it is. and it was his dead boyfriend. And, you know, he kind of coaches him on, you have to accept this. And you know, Alan Scott's whole thing is, well, I don't want to forget about you. I don't want to lose who I am. I don't want to lose you again. And he helps him realize that he has to. It's the only way he can save the plan is just accept who he is. And then when he does, he...
Which is the Avatar of the Green and everything.
Right, but it's not really just the Avatar of the Green. He's basically becomes the Avatar of everything. Right. It's almost... He becomes what we would consider the White Lantern of the normal DC universe. But he remains a Green Lantern. But it's his power set becomes very similar to what we'd see out of a White Lantern. So, you know, he takes on and you know, Apocalypse, doesn't defeat him, but allows the survivors to escape. You never see the stuff with Brother Eye and him allowing them to... becoming a beacon for them to go to. So that doesn't happen. And see, that's the other thing. So... It's to be continued in Convergence, but we also know that there's going to be an Earth 2 Society book after Convergence.
That's which, I kind of thought that Futures End would wrap up, they stop the whole, you know, catastrophe from happening, and then Worlds End would end with them not seeing the beacon, not coming to that dimension, but instead, you know, going off and colonizing.
Yeah, the only thing that I see happening, based on what I read, and if I understood this correctly, was that the survivors from Earth 2 never made it to the new 50, what, Earth 0? Mm-hmm. Never made it to Earth 0.
Earth 33, actually.
Okay, the 33. So when Terry McGinnis, not Terry McGinnis, when
33?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the new 52?
Mm-hmm.
So when Tim Drake goes back, well, just go get the handbook. So when Tim Drake goes back into the future at the end of Future's End, that part never took place with Cadmus Island and all the people from Earth 2 and their powers being experimented on. So, and the other thing is he's not going to know what the history is. From the point he, you know, the divergent timeline, he won't know what happened. But as far as we know at this point, and like I said, I didn't read Convergence today, so I don't know what happened. The people from Earth 2 never made it to the new 52 or Earth.
What, you mean from the picture? Like, that's where you're going from?
No, we're talking about the end of World's End. So they escape, but at the end of Future's World End, we know that Brother Eye didn't send the beacon out for them so to follow, so they never went to the new 52 Earth.
Yeah.
So we know that the Earth 2 Society book is going to be them starting over wherever they end up, and they have the Ark, so they can, you know, grow plants and animals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that part's, you know, kind of taken care of, but you're missing, you know, Brother Eye's experimentation on all those people. Mm-hmm. You know, playing with their power sets and turning them into robots and all that, that never took place. Although we already knew that the future had changed because when Frankenstein dies, that at least that part of it was altered from what happened mm-hmm. at the beginning of Future's End.
The poster is one thing that I was looking at, which is one of the covers of today's Convergence. But like, it has all of the characters from the end of World's End that stayed on Earth. So I'm taking it as like... it seemed like he was taking... from Convergence Zero, he was taking cities, right?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to Convergence Zero yet.
I know, it's just... it's one of those things that... I was thinking basically... how this would work out is that he somehow took cities from Earth, the Earth 2 city. And that's how that survives... And then somewhere along the line, the people from Earth 2 that were on the ships went somewhere else.
Yeah, but that's what the solicit, and I know it's just a solicit, so it may not matter, but the solicit for Earth 2 Society I remember had Flash, and I think it had Batman on it too.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering how they
get. It
was
a different
from...
Batman. Didn't look the same as.
Yeah, he had a different costume.
He had a different costume, but it
not
was,
sure
it
if
looked...
he's the same guy.
Well, and it may be a different Flash too. It may be the, you know, the Wally West to the originals.
Flash wears red.
Colin wears red.
Flash is red. Has some yellow on it. Colin's red. Has some yellow on it.
Yeah, but do you see how long it took for him to go get that book? He is not the Flash. He might be Flash from the Dukes of Hazzard, the Basset Hound. But
well, this is 50s Flash. I don't mean the era.
That's right. Things were slower back then.
The yeah, but that World's End ending was... I liked it. I like the how they... I mean, it kind of leaves you with nothing. There's a lot of books.
I was just disappointed that it didn't get a true ending. It was to mm-hmm. be continued to convert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's where they're going with these two because they had such a big part with Future's End, or that one.
Right,
World's
but after,
End had
after giving them my $3 a week for the last 26 weeks,
well,
I'd like to see a true ending of the story.
I think that's because a lot of us are looking at it as that's the end of the story, and that's not necessarily the end of the story. You want it to end there, but it's not the end. In fact, they didn't even put the end, I don't think, at the
end
of the
book. No, they said to be continuing conversion.
So we're not necessarily done with that book. It's continuing into a new story. So I'm not really irritated about that. I mean, Batman had at the end. It was over.
I don't know. If someone's buying a book like World's End or Future's End, by the time that series wraps up,
yeah.
Whether it leads into another series or not, that last issue should offer some sort of closure for someone who doesn't want to
you're
go
wanting
and read
a,
another series.
Yeah. What you're wanting is a certain... You're just wanting somebody closure. It could end
someone
in some way.
Someone shouldn't be forced to start reading another series just to get any questions answered from the series they were reading for 48 weeks, which is essentially what Future's End did.
Yeah. So you're okay. So you're wanting
close
basically,
it off, but leave. Okay,
like it can lead into it. But offer
you're
some
wanting
closure.
Some sort of ending of some sort, and then it can continue.
Just
still,
need to answer some
doesn't
of the
mean
questions.
The book doesn't can't not continue. You just want
no,
some
can,
things
it
answered.
It can continue, but for someone who was on board for 48 weeks and reading that book, they should get some of their questions answered and have some sort of resolution without having to go into a whole other series after that.
I can see a little bit of that. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, where
because
we
like that
you
that
have a book
should stand on its own as well.
Issue 48 was the same exact place we were at the beginning of the Zero issue.
Yeah, you have I could see like being that the book did end. It actually did end. You're thinking that it should have more, which
like
it should. The ending
own.
Should some
that's,
sort of
that when
we know Batman's
years from
continue.
Now, Future's End will be looked at end. As its own series.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to have it tied to another series as well to get
you
any,
don't want you
any
being
answered.
That this Convergent seems like a part two. That shouldn't be the case, is what you're saying. Like because it should give you some sort of ending.
Cool. Right. Well, here's the thing.
Well,
so World's End ends.
Any questions raised? At the beginning of the series, they should be answered.
They right. should be answered, yeah.
Like
okay,
the,
I,
like this,
yeah,
like
I
the status quo could have
not,
changed a little bit at the end, and that leads to this other story.
Yeah.
But nothing changed by Future's End 48.
Yeah.
Like Pat said, you're at the same place you were at the beginning. Nothing, no question answered, nothing had changed.
It could have gave you a lot more.
The stakes were neither raised nor lowered. It was the same.
I think I'm going to be more
things.
Irritated.
Yeah, rather eyes running things.
Like after $144 worth of issues... You should have something answered.
Yeah, I think it should have ended at least the Brother Eye storyline before we jump into something else. Like because no, Brother Eye did not have an ending per se. It kind of just he shows up somewhere else, and it's just like nope. You know this is supposed to happen is basically what it said. Now I don't know how that would ever fit into Convergence though. That's one thing I kept thinking throughout the story is like. Okay, so basically this world met its end through robot apocalypse of some sort? I don't know. Yeah, I can see where you're saying. I mean, if they can clear it up, I can't see how it clears it up and converges.
Well, no, it doesn't. It's going into the new Batman Beyond book.
Yeah.
But like, a World's End, and you know, this is really a perfect example where it could do what we talked about. You have the survivors that go to New Earth 2 and start over.
Mm-hmm.
That's the lead into your new book,
and then the other ones are left behind. And
right?
Yeah. So it leads into two books. Like it gives you a pathway to these two new series if you want to jump on. But if you don't, you get a satisfying conclusion to what you've been reading for 26
weeks. Either show that everybody that was on Earth 1 or Earth 2 is dead. It's wiped out.
Yeah, when I say satisfied, I don't mean a happy conclusion.
No.
Just like some sort of resolution.
You know what happened.
Had to occur.
So you do that, and then whoever survives goes on, and that becomes the Earth 2 Society book. And then that's fine. Or, you know, you see them take off at the last second, you know, because comic books, and they somehow survive, and, you know, I'm curious to see what happens, but we know Earth is completely evacuated, Apocalypse is in charge, or, you know, Darkseid's in charge, and Apocalypse is taking over Earth. That's the end. Don't end a 40, well, that was a 26, don't end a 26-issue book by saying, to be continuing Convergence. No, that's crap. You know, okay. finish
one.
You know?
No, you guys have been talking about this for 10 minutes.
Because it's important. Go ahead, Josh. What else you got?
Okay, another book that I didn't really like last week. Amazing Spider-Man, number 17.
I read it, and I don't even remember what it was about.
Something about Ghost.
We haven't seen since Thunderbolts.
Yeah, and I remember it had something to do with a presentation, too.
Well, so 2 issues ago, they were presenting their whole prison pitch.
Yeah.
And now this issue, they are doing a test of essentially how a wing of their prison will be. So I don't know if they're just doing this as their continued development or if they won the pitch.
If they got the contract or what.
But essentially you have, you know, the same stuff again. Like, you know, Spider-Man getting in the way of Peter Parker's life. Finally breaks the news of, you know, him and Anna Maria not being together to, you know, Aunt May. And then they're doing their test at Parker Industries. And, of course, something goes wrong because Ghost is there and throws things out of whack. And it wasn't terrible, but I didn't enjoy it at all.
I have a lot of problems with how characters are being written in that story. Like, they just don't feel like the characters that they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think at the beginning of that book, I believe it was that one, where Aunt May is sitting there, they're having dinner. And Aunt May is very odd anymore because she's rich, like, now, so she has money. And she seems a lot fancier, and then she, like, I remember a previous issue, she had a problem with Anna Marie. And
when she first met her, she had a problem.
Yeah, and it was really weird. Like, it was just like, this
she's
is
a
not
little person?
Aunt May. I think that was her real. I don't know what her issue was.
I mean, that I don't have it.
It's just like, it's not just like Aunt May, but like some people are not like being written like how they should sound for Spider-Man.
I mean, Aunt May is very different than how she normally is.
Yeah, and then she comes out of nowhere. Anymore, they just kind of throw Aunt May in. Like, if
we haven't had Aunt May in 6 issues. Let's throw her in there.
Yeah, let's just throw Aunt May in and have them having a dinner. Why are they still dating? And I didn't understand why she was eating dinner with them.
Tying into the back, the Black Cat.
That backstory. Give me a freaking break. Like, yeah.
The whole thing is, like,
that's a character that's not being written how...
Black Cat, yeah, she's really screwed up, because that character is not written like how she's supposed to be.
Well, they're trying to
Black
turn
Cat.
Her into Catwoman.
Yeah, and it's just
not
stupid.
Working.
And then, no issue has went anywhere since Spider-Verse. And before that, even Spider-Verse at least was something that was, had like a story to it, though. Before Spider-Verse, it's the same stuff. It's just like he doesn't know what to do unless he's writing some huge, you know, event. And he's not really good at writing events. Dan Slott isn't.
They made the big deal about how he's not with Anna Maria anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But reading that whole thing, he's going to get back with Anna Maria. Or, you know, he's going to become involved with her. Because she's protecting him the whole time.
I don't understand.
Making up excuses for him and all that.
Yeah, I don't understand why she is... why they were together at a dinner anyways. If they broke up, why didn't they just say something to begin with?
Because Parker didn't want to...
upset Aunt May.
Yeah, so that's why Anna Marie...
So he told her at the dinner?
He didn't tell her. Anna Marie.
Oh, Anna Marie did. Yeah. It's just... it's just like, come on. I know Peter Parker, like they always said, Spider-Man is more about Peter than it is about Spider-Man, but like, holy crap. Like, I don't need that
much
about
the only thing
about
that I'm interested in this book at this point is seeing when that protocol that...
Doc Ock set. Yeah. But that'll be his next big event. See, that's where he catches me. Because he'll have some little key in there. Like the little golden octopus that was running around or something. Mm-hmm. That is gonna be like, wow, this seems interesting. And then when we get to the event, I'm just like, what was this? You know? It just happens too much with him. And I think,
I think Spider-Man really needs a
revamp.
New. They need somebody new. Because, like, I think somebody, like, and it's funny, like, the point issue that they had with Jerry Conway.
I liked that.
Was issue. Really good. And he was a previous writer, so, I mean, maybe they needed that.
Well, maybe, you know, Dan Slott, and, you know, I don't know that he's burned out, but maybe he's burned out.
And he used characters that Dan Slott was putting in there. Like, he had Mr. Negative was in there. We haven't seen him for a while. And that's one of my biggest complaints a while back about Dan Slott's Spider-Man, is that all of a sudden Dan Slott will throw in a character, he'll create this really cool character, and then he'll stop using him completely. And it'll just disappear. You know, there's so many characters that he throws at you that, like Mr. Negative was there for a while, and we thought, well, he was going to take over something. He was going to be the big bad for a while.
Like,
and
the
then
King
all of a sudden,
like,
Spider-Man resolves that issue by outing him, and then he's gone forever.
Yeah.
And we never see him. And it's just like, work with what you have. You had something interesting. Work with it. And I don't know. I can't say anything bad. Like, Dan Slott, I think, has brought a lot of attention, more attention to Spider-Man, because people have liked it. It's losing that feeling. And there's weird things about it. And then, you know, he tries to do this weird Doctor Who-ish, like, stuff where he's, you know, like Spider-Verse, and he tries to be all, like, he tries to tell a story like Grant Morrison. He has some sort of mystery involved in this, and it's just like, when they reveal that it's the guy behind the mask is some guy, and we're just like, okay, it's him. You know, that's the stuff I'm not going for. He's trying too hard, and I think he should just try to focus and write a decent story. You know, don't try to be something you're not. Just tell us a story that, you know, is kind of interesting, you know.
Josh?
Sorry, I got...
I don't know why he's in the lab coat anymore, either. I still haven't figured that out. Why isn't he just changing to some other outfit instead of Dr. Octopus's white lab coat that looks and makes him look like a mad scientist?
Yeah. And they draw,
and the whole group has it. He's just like he can't say, like, yeah, I don't want to wear these lab coats anymore. Wear whatever you want.
He's
a
doctor now.
That one, the ones with the button-up collars.
Yeah,
he looks like
a mad scientist. I'm just like,
yeah, he's wearing the drawn to look like he's a villain.
That's how we knew. But it was cool when it was Dr. Octopus, because we were like, oh, yeah, because it's Dr. Octopus. So he had that look to him that we as the readers would associate him to Dr. Octopus. But, like, now he's taking it all the way through Peter Parker. It's just like, give it a rest. So.
And Sinestro Annual.
Yeah, I read that.
So that was good. It was different. Like, it focused on the...
It was like the history of the Yellow Lantern Corps.
Yeah, the main...
the Sinestro Corps.
Yeah.
I really liked the story with Archilo.
I wasn't expecting that story to end the way it did.
Yeah.
With
him
slaughtering every single person. Yeah.
But that was, it was different, and it's really, I mean, it makes sense, you know, so he has a conversation with his father at the beginning of the book, because on their planet, they all worship this deity that essentially has two sides. One side is peaceful, and the other side is warlike, and they only... basically taught, it seems like you had this ceremony, you're coming of age type thing, and from that point on you are all about peace and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And Archilo's position is, well, wait a second, that's really only taking
half of it.
No one ever cares about the other half. And when he goes to the ceremony, he just says, yeah, we just kill everybody.
But, like, his conversation with his father,
it seems sincere.
It didn't make it sound like he was thinking, I'm going to slaughter everyone. Like, it made it sound like he would embrace violence as well, but not to the point of killing every single person around.
It just, what I thought it really made it seem like was, you know, just a lost kid that was looking for his way in the world. And
honestly, that story makes me think that he's more rage than fear. Like, more red...
I didn't see it that way, because it didn't... I didn't take it as he was angry, and that's why he did it. Just like Sinestro said, he's a very pious... well, maybe not pious, but, you know, he's a very religious person. He's just choosing to go with the war side as opposed to the peace side. And I don't think it's, I don't like you, I'm going to kill you. It's just...
Well, who's he instilling fear in if he kills everyone, though?
That's a good point. I mean, you got to leave at least one person.
So that's, know, what that's what I'm thinking. Like, it was just rage. The violent rage side of the...
But the only reason why I'd say no, like I said, it didn't seem like it was out of anger.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was strictly, you know, he's the other side of the coin to the rest of his people that were all about peace. And you know, I highly doubt that he slaughtered the entire planet.
How do they differentiate between, like, rage and fear? And the because it seems like there's a lot of killing involved in Yellow Lanterns. Do they do more killing just to show their power? Like, it's more strategic killing?
Yeah, I think it's more to terrify and throw your enemies off balance, whereas rage
is just, like...
wanton destruction.
A massacre.
Yeah.
I was wondering that.
Until blue energy somehow flows down from the sky and changes you.
That's how Dave became Santa Claus.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so the setup of the book, you have... Sinestro leading, you know, a small group mission, and he's discussing how he knows the backstory and the history of every Yellow Lantern, that their memories become shared with him. So you got to see, you know, these little, like, vignettes of backstory for, I think it was, like, six.
I think it was four. I don't remember where there was.
I think it was more. It was, I think, five or six. So it was Archilo, it was the New God, it was, what's his name?
The one that was like the samurai.
Yeah, there's him. There was, it's on the cover, five. Because on the cover it has like all the gems for all the people. So it's five of them. And each little story was like, you know, probably around like four, you know, pages long, give or take. And they had a different artist for each of those stories as well. So it was a good book. Like, not a whole lot happened for the main, you know, story that was going on. I think that whatever was happening or whatever they were doing is going to pick up
after
Convergence. But no, it's just a good, like, little, you know, fun annual that didn't really have an impact on anything else, but gave you that back history.
But the weird thing was, they went back to New Cougar instead of being they weren't on World.
But this took place after the events of the previous issue, because they addressed what happened.
And I don't know if maybe he just left it to go get everybody to bring them back.
But
although
it seemed like they were still based there, and
but the Yellow Lanterns could have just flown to War World, but the Cougarians couldn't have.
But, like, the way this issue started off, though, it seemed like that was still their base of operations.
You know, what I'm saying, you know, they might have left and he was going back because they got to transport everybody back to War World, and then that becomes the new Cougar, or, you know, whatever.
I don't know.
But it was a good issue.
No, it was good. I liked it.
I like the issues like that. And that's what I said. I would think a Lantern book that was like a Tales from a Lantern book...
Mm.
It kind of went into the different stories would do really well, because there's a lot of interesting things you can do and kind of see, you know, why certain people kind of went to the core they did.
Yeah, I agree with you. The only downside to a book like that is when it's like these little, you know, self-contained stories, it makes it easy to jump off the book as well.
Yeah.
You don't have that, you know,
the overarching story that you got to stay for.
Yeah. All right, Pat, you want
to
clean up here?
Batman and Robin Annual.
That was pretty good, too.
In and of itself, I thought it was a good book. The problem I had with it was I thought that the week before...
Was a issue sufficient 40, ending.
Yeah, it was a really good ending.
Yeah.
But and I thought, it, as I'll a say, standalone story, was good.
The week before, issue 40 was... Not only, like, a good ending, but a far better ending than this issue.
Yeah.
This issue didn't offer any sort of, like, finality, whereas the previous one did.
Which book is this?
Batman and Robin Annual, where Robin...
The space time.
Yeah, he goes first to the Watchtower, and then they see that there's activity in one of the landing craft from, I think it was Apollo 11 or whatever.
Mm.
So they go there and find out that they're shapeshifters that are
playing. I thought that they were the guys from Green Lantern. The what do they call them? The Coon or whatever? What were they called?
Yeah. The shapeshifters.
Yeah. That, the Coon or Con or whatever, they were the ones with them or something. Mm-hmm. I remember them. But yeah, I thought they were shapeshifters because when they were pushing through the doorway, you saw all these tentacles coming through it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it, but I said, that would have been interesting,
but you know, it
was okay for on its own, but it wasn't really, I wouldn't consider it any type of finale like issue, because as Josh said, I don't think it offered anything like that.
No.
I thought it was, I thought myself that it was in an odd place to come out because of the finale.
Yeah, and the week after, that was the
problem. We didn't really necessarily need that. I mean, I don't know how they necessarily do annuals, because annuals seem so random to me, but it's not like they could have waited until after Convergence and then they were doing their Batman, but I guess that story was ending anyway, so what was even the point of bringing out an annual for that book?
Well, yeah, and that's you're going to have a Batman and Robin book, or, you know, there's going to be adventures with Bruce and Damian. We know that we'll continue to have stories like that.
Yeah.
You could have brought that out later. And it wasn't that it was a bad book, I just think it was the timing that it came out the week after.
Expecting more out of that book, because I thought that would have been the finale. If anything, if they were going to bring anything out, make that the finale type story. And they didn't really give us a finale type story for this.
Although there was,
it just seemed kind of odd placed.
But there was more of the, I don't want to say banter, but like, you know, at the end they're looking up at the moon and, you know, I forget exactly what Damian says, but, you know, we do some really crazy
things. We do some crazy things, yeah.
And then, you know, it was kind of like, you know, father, is there something wrong? You're smiling. Yeah. It was another one of those moments where it's, you know, it's trying to show that, you know, yes, he's Batman, but he's still a father.
Yeah. And not only that, he's still human. And I think a lot of the times we don't even see him as that. We see him as some sort of like, something else, something non-human. You know, because really he's the only character in DC that's really so human, mm-hmm. you know? And he doesn't seem like that. He seems more like the rest of them, which is more godlike. So, yeah, we don't... It's just how we see Batman, I think, is interesting. That sometimes you, even as the reader, sometimes forget he's not. He's still a regular guy.
Yeah. Harley Quinn.
Read that.
I like that. Although I didn't think that we were going to see the tryouts and Harley's gang. I don't know what they're going to call themselves until after Convergence. But, you know, Harley has tryouts and she recruits her gang. She buys a building, which I didn't get, because I thought a couple issues ago, part of the reason why she was going through what she was going through was she didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. But now, apparently, she has enough to just buy a building.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. They played up for this whole book that she had money, but not a ton. Like, she has to work
to,
you know, continue to get by. So how does she have $200,000?
Yeah, it was more than that. It was $200,000 for the building, and then she fixed up the building. Because remember, it was, like, basically condemned. Plus gave the girls money to, you know, decorate their rooms and all this other stuff. So, but she was also with Poison Ivy, and you know, maybe Ivy gave her the money, you know, who knows. But this continues to be a good book.
It was a fun book. Like, there's nothing, if you were willing to, you know, have that suspension of, you know, disbelief, then it's fine.
It really is. It's the Deadpool book for DC, where it's in continuity, but not exactly. It's the more outlandish and crazier premise book.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good. That's the DC book that will make me laugh out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, just sometimes you need that.
Are you on for Starfire in June?
I am. You know, I figured that'll, even though it's not trampy Starfire, I think that'll be good. Okay, less trampy Starfire. She's kind of covered. But you know, it's the same duo writing it, and so I'm hoping it'll be along the same lines.
Yeah.
And if not, then I at least gave it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Convergence. So,
a bit confusing.
It was, and I didn't come up with this, but I actually read this. So,
you're crediting the person I did.
Unfortunately, I don't remember.
Random internet guy.
No, I don't remember where I read it. It was either on Bleeding Cool or it was on CBR. But they were talking about how, Superman sees what Brainiac's doing and then just starts punching him because he's basically keeping a zoo. And then they go back to the zoo that Superman keeps.
I think it was Bleeding Cool.
Okay. Yeah. And it was like, that's a really good point. Why is he complaining about this? At least up in, because at the very beginning, he didn't realize that they were pitting each other, these different civilizations against each other. So I thought that that was a good point. And that was the thing, he doesn't even know what's going on yet. He's just, these are cities, and he just starts punching people. Okay. And it was really weird because there was different versions of Brainiac in it too. Mm-hmm. It had I guess they're calling it the Ultimate Brainiac. It had the pantsless version of Brainiac from the Super Friends.
Yeah, it's the original Brainiac design was for him.
I saw that. I
just the robot
had,
one.
They had the robot one that was used for a while. They had the animated series one, which mm-hmm. I was surprised they had that. They had all different kinds that kind of look similar to each other even too, because of the transitions between Doomed, I think, or not Doomed. What was that story Geoff Johns did with the Brainiac? They did a movie about it. Was it even called Brainiac or something?
I don't know.
Oh yeah. A while back. Yeah.
Yeah. Pre New 52. What that was. Yeah. Maybe he was there. A whole bunch of different types. What I think they were trying to say, which I'm not positive about, was that basically there's one, from even what they've been trying to say for Future's End,
Brainiac is
outside there's one
time.
Brainiac, and then there's a bunch of Brainiacs that he sends out or something
that. Yeah, sub-Brainiacs.
So when we see a Brainiac show up, it's not really the Brainiac.
Until
there's different versions, and that's what he was going up against.
Future's End.
Yeah.
That was the Brainiac.
Yeah, that was supposedly the Brainiac. That was him. And he was there, it seemed. And
he was there at the beginning, and then he left. He had better things to do.
Which might have been the whole Future's End thing, because it takes place where, when he's sent through the black hole, that takes place in Doomed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Then he would have been there, I guess. Because he wasn't in Future's End yet. That might have been when he was going to do stuff for Future's End. He disappeared. Because then that's the only time we've seen him is because of Future's End. So, I don't know.
Because he has to... Remember, he has to go back. He does whatever he does in Africa before Brainiac shows up to take
Manhattan.
He's
in Africa, What was that pink robot that was killing people in Future's End? You remember he was running out, Constantine was after him, and he was in, a Mayan temple of some sort?
Vaguely.
And it killed, a bunch of people, and then it was running to where it needed, and Superman fought it.
Yeah, that was...
Was that another Brainiac? Because they never really brought that up ever again. It just kind of faded away.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
Colin made us stop talking about that.
Yeah.
No, I just all of a sudden.
I mean, that's not...
I say, and after the end of this many issues, I want. It's like, okay, I get it. You didn't like the end,
but
that's all.
Colin's thing is, you're
you
allowed to
chime in.
You can bash Marvel all you want.
Well,
but
no.
That
no,
might
no.
have been one of the things.
But
that they were getting out.
It was just
pink.
You'd said it over and over. That's
that
all.
Pink Brainiac.
I hadn't read Earth all over too. So,
maybe he was an old Brainiac. Maybe he was an old version that he was in a temple or something.
I read the first six and then the last one.
Brainiac
so really
V1.
Yeah, he might have been the first Brainiac.
I could justifiably comment on it.
You skipped quite a few in there.
I did, but
that's
I wanted to see how it ended.
That's one thing that they left unresolved.
Especially
so.
After reading Future's End and how it implied damage.
Some things in comics that they leave unresolved for that purpose, too. Because then they just... Somebody else can write about it and it can tie into the story. That's what we're dealing with now, kind of, with Convergence. They had that, and then basically, what happens, I kind of liked it, is all of them kind of
fuse into one
being. Yeah, so there's going to be one.
And that became this Telos guy, or Telos.
And then...
Why they fuse, I don't understand.
Well, what it seems like...
Telos was the planet, like the...
Kind of, but I think he is kind of is
it's
the
like
planet.
A sentient planet.
Yeah.
So, and if I understand this correctly, they're going to pit these civilizations against each other.
Not so much the civilizations, the cities.
But the winner of which gets put back.
Correct.
Right now, they're void of space-time.
Correct.
They're out of time. They get put back to wherever they're supposed to be.
Where do they get put back to? Because he takes the city before they get destroyed.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, but if they're outside space-time, my guess is he can correct whatever the event is.
I wonder if he's going to save their entire multiverse.
I guess my only fear, then, is if they've kind of given things away by having Earth-2 society, is Earth-2 going to be saved?
Kind of. Or they reestablish it. They recreate it.
Yeah.
Well, the people that are in Earth-2 society weren't captured.
That might be...
Okay.
Basically, the Brainiac story might be telling us how they escaped.
Well,
because Earth might just be destroyed. Earth-2.
But that's the other thing. Earth-2 wasn't visited by Brainiac. Apocalypse came and destroyed that.
Right.
That's
but
what I'm curious
here,
about.
Well,
how
you haven't read one yet, but they are in one.
Okay.
And basically... The ships all flew off at the end of Earth 2 World's End, and the heroes were kind of left on the planet. And all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, how did we get here? They were taken at the end,
but it was weird because they didn't have a city.
So they kind of show up, and he shows up, and he's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Where is your city? This is, you know, you shouldn't be here. This is wrong.
Telos says that to them.
It very, very, now...
There's a big hole in the Apocalypse, too.
Right, there had so to, that Brainiac was how to yeah, that was how they got all the evacuating ships out.
Zero, I wasn't a huge fan of. I felt confused most of the time I was reading it, and I didn't feel it was a $5 kickstart. I just didn't care for it.
And I know because of timing they couldn't do it, but I think that would have made a good free comic book day issue.
Or it would have been just a good. It could have concluded Doomed. The Doom storyline, because he was taken into the black hole, that could have told us, like, this is what happened in the black hole. And then after that, that would make us more interested in what's Convergence about.
Well, I think the problem with doing that is people that weren't reading Superman...
Yeah.
Wouldn't have known.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
That's true, too.
Like, because I didn't know how he got there.
Yeah, but I thought number one was much better. Stuff happened that echoes through all this week's, first week's books. I'm sure we'll echo through all the... First month books. But number one, I think, was much more satisfying. And just a brief thing about... I've only read 7 of the 10 of the weekly... Of the two-parters. Mm-hmm. The monthlies, I guess. The monthly ones.
Yeah.
Much better than I expected. I didn't know what to expect, to be honest. But they do kind of all tie together. At least, it looks like each week's books will tie together. The heroes in each one, somehow everybody ended up in Gotham pre-New 52, and that's what they've scooped up. It's Gotham City pre-New 52, and that's what each, like Superman just happened to be visiting with Lois and got grabbed. Superman was my favorite of the, so far that I've read.
Is there a particular order you should be reading these in?
No, they're all basically happening at the same time.
But it's awful. Well, no, that's what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Not that I've found.
They've done stuff like it. People, comic book companies have done stuff.
No,
like
I don't. Like they've all been very, very separate.
Somebody posted online about Earth 2, because like Earth 2 and World's End, like
Adam,
what reading order
Batgirl,
is that?
Batgirl, Batman and Robin.
Like unless you bought
Superman,
them, it's really
Speed
hard
Force,
to just decide. How do I
you read
Titans.
So far.
I read 7 of the 10. The only ones I didn't read, that would be easier, would be Question, Nightwing,
Harley.
And Harley.
I read Question and Nightwing Oracle.
Okay.
They showed, in issue zero, they showed Gotham as being one of the cities, you remember? Because they had the dome, and then it was the bat signal. Yeah. So that's probably the one.
But it's been interesting. I like, there was a really interesting twist in Titans. Superman, I like Superman and Justice League, both because the city that those heroes are having to go against is Flashpoint. So you're dealing with the Flashpoint characters. that I really like the Flashpoint characters and I want to see more of them. So, like, one of the keys, like, in the Justice League book, not to give anything away, but it's Flashpoint Aquaman, and he sees Justice League Mira. And he's like, there's Mira. So he goes
she was dead
to deal with her because she had died in Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Okay. In Superman, all of a sudden, you have him facing Flashpoint Superman, who's like the scrawny kid.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just interesting. And also, he then also confronts Green Lantern, but that's Abin Sur.
Right.
So different things.
We might get Batman versus Thomas Wayne.
Correct. So, well, not even just that. You could also get Thomas Wayne and Thomas Wayne. The chance of that from Earth 2 Batman.
Okay, yeah.
Against Flashpoint Batman.
Flashpoint Thomas Wayne, yeah.
I think that's where this is kind of neat. And you're not probably not going to get that in the monthly, the two-parters, but you might get that at some point in the weekly.
There's just a lot of stories.
So I think that those are some neat things that I think could be kind of cool in this. But, yeah, Adam was really weird. Batgirl was interesting. The one other thing I liked that I was nervous about, because they said the heroes had no powers under the dome. I'm like, so we're going to get stories about all these heroes without powers. No, what happens is at the beginning of each book, the dome is coming down. It had been up for a year. They'd have to live for a year without their powers. That's why in Superman, Lois is pregnant. Because Superman...
I dropped
a penny?
Yeah.
From where?
I don't know, but it came from...
It came from the Batcave.
Okay. So that's why Lois was able to be pregnant, because Superman didn't have his powers for that time.
It was the Christopher Reeve one that went in the Red Chamber.
Yeah, so it was just... But each one was really good. Like I said, there were three I haven't read, but I'm definitely more intrigued about these now.
You just better have that baby before the baby gets
I don't think they're
going
to be as throwaway. Yeah. Each one had its good points. Adam
be exposed to the yellow sun
until
after
it's
unless she absorbs sunlight.
Okay, good.
Right,
will it go to her?
Not great. None of these are multiversity Pax Americana levels. But
questions.
So
good.
It's really
good.
Vitamin D is what gives Superman strength. So really, he should just be able to drink milk, and the same thing would happen.
Yeah, milk would do it.
We were talking.
I missed
that. Okay.
Milk mustache.
The yellow sun's what gives Superman his powers.
I think it's vitamin
D.
Okay.
So, it's vitamin D.
Oh.
So if Superman just drinks a whole bunch of milk.
I don't think so.
I was saying that the baby, she should have the baby before they get their powers back, because that might be a little more difficult.
Well, I know what I said was the baby's not exposed to the yellow sun until after it's born, so it shouldn't have powers until it's born.
Was Adam Ray Palmer or was it Ryan
yes.
Chow?
Yes.
Both. So they're tying that up.
Yes.
Because they never really did anything with that.
But the neat thing, too, is at the end there's two pages, like the history of the character.
Okay.
So, like, the Adam one showed Ray Palmer, but also Ryan Choi and what happened to him.
Did any of these have the 8-page sampler?
That's the second issue.
Okay.
Which is giving you the 8-page preview to the June books.
Okay.
And they just released what the first week's worth are going to be. It was really weird.
They
didn't make sense what they were... It didn't make sense what they were putting the books in. But basically what they said is, while they want it to have make sense, basically the first 8 that are done, they're putting in the first 8 books. So it wasn't so much...
Well, I think the flip side of that is, you know your Batman people are going to read the Batman books, but
right.
if you put, say, Superman in a Batman book, it may get someone...
But it was like, I noticed like in one of the more popular books, it was like the Prez preview and stuff. It was just...
I'm as interested as I was in this with Flashpoint. I think that's why I want to read everything, because everything was kind of good in Flashpoint. Like,
yeah.
And I know there's a lot of people who disagree with that, because I had a lot of people disagree with me on Flashpoint.
Well, and that's why when Colin had the back issue sale, I got a lot of the tie-ins. Like, I had read
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint
was a lot of fun.
But
that's the whole thing. And those were the only books going on at that time was Flashpoint.
Yeah.
Like that? Just like Convergence does, I guess. But that's kind of why I'm into this, because I'm just like, this seems like Flashpoint, so I'm going to try to go for it. It's tying up resolved things. That's what DC was saying in that preview. You know, there's a bunch of things that were kind of left unresolved, and they're like giving that back to you through a story. And this isn't any different than what DC would usually do, because it's a multiverse story. They do that a lot, so...
Oh, okay, never mind. It's not as off the wall as I thought. For the first week, it's Adam is going to have Green Lantern. Batgirl is going to have Prez. Batman and Robin will have Omega Men. Harley will have Section 8. Justice League has Earth 2 Society. Nightwing Oracle has Midnighter. That kind of makes sense. Question will have Green Lantern and the Lost Army. Speed Force will have Green Arrow. And Superman will have Doomed, and Titans will have Red Hood Arsenal. Actually, a lot of those make sense.
I do like how they had Harley Quinn having Section 8.
The art for Green Arrow looks good.
Okay.
Patrick Zerker's art.
Oh, okay, cool. That was one of the neat things. Some of the art was really, really good. I forget one of them was... I didn't even think twice about the artist who was doing it, but when I read it, it was like, wow, this is, maybe it was Lee Weeks. I'm not 100% sure, but one of them, I was really impressed with the art. It was like a name I should have known, but I felt the art was quite good.
Well, that's all I got, Colin.
Okay, Doctor Who, Ninth Doctor, number one. I read it just...
because it's number one.
For fun, it was a number one. I took it home. It was strange. It felt very much like a Doctor Who episode. It had Captain Jack, it had Rose. Everything was fine. But it was weird. For like the first four or five pages, the way the art was, everybody looked intangible. It was like you could see the backgrounds. I don't know if it was just something like he's standing in front of something and you could like see through him. It was very, very
weird. Which one is the Ninth Doctor?
Eccleston.
Okay, that's all right.
So, good book. If you like the show, you'd like the book. There's nothing spectacular, but it definitely had a lot of the tone, the attitude. It wasn't... it definitely sounded like the Ninth Doctor, not like any of the other Doctors. It's hard to explain unless you've seen the show.
Was he more of a badass, or...?
A little more. He was a little of everything, actually. He had his funny moments, but he definitely was an angrier Doctor. He's much more like the current Doctor. His anger was easier.
That was the whole thing about him.
Yeah, he'd been through a war. He'd killed a lot of people.
His entire race.
Yeah.
Then they kind of switched that up on us just recently.
Okay, No Mercy number one was a new Image one.
Was it about the Cobra Kai dojo?
It was not. It was about a group of students, like, on a trip, like, in Central America, and they're on this bus, and the bus... like, goes over a cliff, and all of a sudden, they're, like, some of them are really injured. It was very weird. My biggest problem with it is I'm old. And
we knew
at
that.
The beginning, they had all this, like, they're doing all these texting and things. I literally could not read the
print.
Did you
have to ask what texting was?
No, I did not have to ask what texting was.
Google text that. You needed a translate texter. Some of this, like kids will write with text, and like I don't get.
No,
like,
it literally
what they
wasn't
mean
that.
Half the time.
But just I could not read. Just the type is so small.
Okay.
I literally could not. And maybe I was it was too late in the day when I was trying to read it, but the type on all of it was just so small. So I ended up just kind of skipping pages of text because I couldn't read it. I had that problem this week. I think it was Savior. Had really, really small text, and then I started reading one of the Flashpoint or the Convergence books, and it was like there were text boxes, like explanatory, you know, like the old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and it was readable. I'm like, wow, okay, because sometimes I just get a little worried that my eyes are totally going, which would be really bad in this kind of job.
Yeah,
but then I read another book and realize, no, it's just sometimes
because of your job.
The print in those things was really small. But interesting book, you know, definitely a cliffhanger ending. You want to see where it's going. A book I have a vested interest in, Puppet Master number one. I don't know that I ever saw any of the Puppet Master movies. Not that it's a bad thing. I used to watch, especially in college, I watched a ton of horror movies.
It's a lot. It was typical 80s B-movie
schlock. Okay. Because I wasn't a big party guy. I wasn't a frat guy.
No.
I wasn't a go-to-the-bar kind of guy. So I rented a lot of movies, especially my first 2 years were in Altoona. There's not a lot to do in Altoona, Pennsylvania. So there was a lot of movie rentals. And this was even before Blockbuster, so you'd have to go to, you know,
the
little
the
family.
The
no, well, I don't remember
you
any.
Knew that
I don't.
Well.
I did not know. No. But I rented a lot of movies. Just something to do. And I did watch a lot of horror stuff. Then I met Sandy, and she really does not like being scared and really doesn't like horror movies. So
you took her to a whole bunch of
movies? No, so I haven't seen horror movies in a long, long time. But so I never saw the Puppet Master movies. But reading it, it basically read like a standard 80s horror movie. Kids are going, I think it's like spring break. They go to this haunted hotel or something. This house.
We're going to have a drinking and sex party.
This house that it was abandoned, and apparently this guy who used to make puppets used to live there, and his big claim to fame was that they didn't have strings and all this stuff. And of course, the two that go off to have sex are the first two to be killed. You know, it's almost like I need to rewatch Cabin in the Woods to, you know, get my checklist of what's supposed to happen. But it was good. I mean, it was. If that is your thing, if your thing is the standard, you know, 80s horror movie, this book will be right up your alley.
I think the guy that made him's name was like Toulon or Touton or something like that.
There's a neat scene where these two were kissing, and this one puppet with a drill head drills through the back of his head, and then she pulls her mouth back, and he's in her mouth, and then finally kills her. I'm sure it would have looked really good on film.
The guy with the little head is Pinhead.
There's a guy with big arms.
With a knife is Blade. I think the other guy is Drillhead.
What?
There's
some really good names.
There's a guy that has six arms with guns.
Are you sure you're not talking about Mega Man?
No.
Sounds like Mega Man villains.
Well, it came out around the same time.
Drill Man. Cut Man.
There you go. But, and again, we will have the writer here on Saturday. So if you want to come talk to him about it, he'll probably even sign a copy for you if you ask. Real nice. Or not so nice.
You get your own Pittsburgh comics.
You could, the special variant. So.
Wow. But come early. Copies won't last all day.
Yeah. I don't think that worked.
No, I didn't think that worked either. Okay.
Might have worked if we didn't all crack up.
And then the last one I read, which I'm shocked nobody else talked about because it's the book of the year, was Uncanny Inhumans. Inhumans are the future of the Marvel Universe.
I don't know what book you're talking about.
And this one's Uncanny, and you know they only give their top books the Uncanny moniker.
What number is this?
This is number zero.
Is that Wolverine?
This is Uncanny Inhumans zero.
From Charles Soule, right?
Yes, because he's the only one allowed to write Inhumans,
apparently. Is this the one where, like, number one is nowhere in sight?
No, I think number one is coming. It'll be next month, but okay. I don't think it's tying in with Secret Wars, which makes things really confusing.
What's going to happen? We're going to get the next issue of Sabrina?
Next week. Next week.
Oh, is it?
Next week.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
We still haven't got Archie yet. So.
It was good. My only problem with it, now, I haven't read a ton of Inhumans. I read this scene. At the end of Infinity, Black Bolt sets off the Inhuman.
The Terrigen Mist bomb,
which causes all that stuff. And then he kind of disappears. Well, in this one, all of a sudden, he's back. And everybody's mad at him because he's been gone. But
he can't even defend himself.
At no point is there any explanation of where he was, what he was doing, why, like, he's confronted with his son, and his son hates him because he left him, and all this stuff. And it just...
He's got daddy issues.
It was just really strange in the sense that, like, there was just no explanation.
Well, because Black Bolt can't talk.
I understand. I understand
that. Where have you
been, Dad? Explain yourself.
But as you're reading this and you're just not understanding, okay, where was he? Why, you know. So, like, he meets with Kang, who has his son.
Stepdaddy Kang?
And, yeah, I forget. Something happens and basically he has to give his son to Kang. Because to make amends for being gone or something. It was just one of those, you kept waiting for a little explanation and it never came.
Back child support.
Well, Black Bolt was a Skrull, so.
That's yeah, at one point.
All acting.
Yeah.
Funny.
Okay. Well, that's all I got.
If he's still a Skrull.
We have a ton next week.
The poster was saying that you do Turtles birthday parties here, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
What is he branching into?
No,
he does.
No.
Of all the things.
And it's not what you think. It's not like he has kids that come because they're the Turtles. It's he's actual Turtles. It's their
turtle birthdays.
If you have a turtle and it's their birthday, you bring it back.
You'll get points. Man, I hope someone's listening to this.
No.
Watch a turtle come in one day.
Okay.
I need my turtle birthday points.
Adam?
I'm good. I think we talked about
you're
everything.
You're good? Okay. Well, cool. We'll get to next week. And don't forget, there is a signing here Saturday. Sorry. So next week, we have Archie versus Predator, number one.
Right.
What?
I didn't say anything. Okay.
I just don't get that at all. Huh? Archie versus Predator.
Yes.
I mean, I can kind of go with the zombie thing. And
even better, it's coming out from Dark Horse, not Archie. So maybe it'll be on time. Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, number two. Number one was more popular than I thought. Josh, we have Bloodshot Reborn, number one, next week.
I will be getting that.
And Chrononauts, number two. Convergence, number two. I know that's a shocker for a weekly. What are you trying to see?
No, I was just looking at the incentive variants for Bloodshot.
Oh, okay. And then the Convergence books we have next week are Aquaman, Batman Shadow of the Bat, Catwoman, Green Arrow, Green Lantern Parallax, Justice League International, Suicide Squad, Shoreshine Squad, Superboy, Supergirl Matrix, and Superman Man of Steel. Now, what was interesting, this week was everything was pre-New 52 Gotham. This one is going to be pre-Zero Hour. All these books will tie in, will be a pre-Zero Hour characters.
So. Well, I guess you haven't read them, I will say. Yeah, so if someone hadn't read Zero Hour, do they need to go out and read Zero Hour?
No, I think it's just really, it's just hitting it this at that time.
Okay.
So not big, just like mid-90s. And then
the
week after, is going to be pre-Crisis. And then the last week is supposed to be just all the Elseworlds type stuff. Like
I wasn't talking specifically for me, but other people who may not have read, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths or whatever, do they need to read these in order for Convergence to make sense?
Adam. Pat, we have the DC collectible action figure bases finally coming.
Yeah, that's about time.
I know. Well, I only ordered them in August.
I know.
Almost good as we're getting. This week we got Battlestar Galactica 6, number 2. That I had ordered, I think, last March or something, and number three is coming out the week after. It's like, okay, what was the holdup? Ember,
that must be really stellar art.
Yeah. Ember Zero, it's an Avatar book. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's a Zero. Fade Out number five. Adam and I were just talking yesterday, wondering where in the world that book went. Because I was trying to figure out if it was over, and it wasn't. So, and then, boom, what shows up? Just I'm also like getting that. All my free comic book day books are coming. Yay. Fox number one is coming from Dark Circle, the Dark Archie stuff. One for me, Frank Miller's Ronin Gallery Edition. Yeah, I ordered one of those for me. Ooh, that's expensive.
I wonder if they'll transition as Dark Archie, that what do they call it? The
Dark Circle.
If they'll put the afterlife with Archie in those, like,
no, that's supposed
titles.
To be
getting
its own.
Yeah, that's getting its
own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Legendary Star-Lord number 11 is the Black Vortex tie-in.
Is that still going on?
Yeah.
For some reason.
Now, my only problem with Black Vortex, and I know a lot of people have been reading it and saying it's really good, is my problem is this, that it's going into Secret Wars, that they've basically said is, you know, the game changer for the Marvel Universe. So my thought is, okay, so what?
This has no consequences.
Yeah. That's my problem when they keep doing these. Run, Love, Kill is the big one from Image coming. Sabrina number two, wow. Next week.
Wow.
Secret Identities
Wait,
3.
I
think
can
I talked you into
can
that
repeat
one.
Repeat that,
yeah.
Please.
Sabrina number two
wow.
is coming
what
next week.
That?
Thank you.
Sabrina number two.
Are you going to have 300 copies of it again?
I do not have 300 copies. Of, what?
Did we miss number one? When
yeah, you missed number one. It was back in October.
You might
I'm
have
sorry.
Oh, man, do you still have any?
I might be able to scrounge
those
one.
You might have some.
Don't want to jump on number two, but didn't get to read number one
yeah.
or forgot.
I have plenty. I can take care of that for you.
Regular covers or special covers?
Special covers. I don't think I have any regulars left.
Oh, okay.
Secret Identities number three that I've talked people into. Shaft number five.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever you do, don't ask about Godzilla covers.
I found a whole short box down the basement.
Yeah, there's always
a short box Spawn 251. That's the first one.
Is that
post.
The one where actually you're on the cover?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes, that Godzilla. Is the one with me on the cover. Yes.
You're selling those? I need to get one of those.
Sure, I can get one for you.
Or a whole short box. Whatever comes first.
Thor.
Just wait till free comic book day. They'll be out again.
Thor number seven. Hopefully we're getting... I know soon. I don't know if it's seven or eight that she's supposed to reveal her identity. Tithe is another Image one coming out. And that's it. And it's not... I know it doesn't sound like a whole lot. It's...
There's more coming.
There's a lot coming. Just everything needs to be pointed out. cave woman zombie situation. Ooh, very exciting. And the other fact that we have basically the DC is all limited to the convergence.
What is it?
Cave woman zombie situation.
So I'm assuming there's no Vertigo coming out while...
Vertigo I see coming out. Yeah, because we got Coffin Hill today.
Oh, okay.
That's not affected. You're just not getting any regular... But we're still owed... Superman. We're still owed Superman, Batman, and Justice League. Those are still MIA from March.
Yeah.
But Batman's
going to be an extra size issue,
right? And I think that's part of the reason for the delay.
What about Justice League?
That I don't know. Justice League, probably because it's the start of the Darkseid thing.
Darkseid War.
Is it? I thought it was the end of the Amazovirus.
No, that ended last issue.
That ended already. And it continued at the end. It said next is Darkseid War.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and I don't know about Superman.
Or Prelude to Darkseid War, I think.
Is Superman... Starting of the Romita stuff, because the John stuff ended.
It's just a one issue.
Is it Romita? Just a one issue? Okay, okay.
Because in June, the new writer...
Oh, that's right, that's right.
They're working on that... It's that story going on, Gene, Oz, like, character.
Something. Sorry, Gene.
I think his name is Oz.
So that's all I got.
Adam?
Is that all you got, Pat?
That's all I got.
How about you, Dave?
That's it.
I guess that's all for
Merry
Josh.
Christmas.
That's a podcast.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are we done? Yeah. Sorry, Josh and I are having a side discussion. I apologize. He's requesting special variant covers.
And he told me no.
No.
For no good reason.
Well,
what do you think of this story? What are your thoughts of this?
So, that's all we got. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
Abilities in a single bound came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town, walk between billionaires and evil scientists, sorcerer supreme. All the teenagers are buying this gamma radiation. Nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America when a soldier out Siberia, rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard and fund the Hellfire Society. Studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets, demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with, and mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time, watch your chain react. Can't lie, I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets, unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it, yo. Please, shots to your chest. You're rocking a mess like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Don't
nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes, keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this for all the vigilantes in the streets taking a